I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
I see dead people.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome back to the Killer Cuties Podcast.
Happy Tuesday.
The happiest of Tuesdays.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
You're right. The year is still early.
Yeah. It is a Tuesday.
It is. I hope this Tuesday is happy, but I hope that your happiest Tuesday this year is yet to come.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's like a fun thing. Look forward to your happiest Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they're all happy.
Yeah, I hope you never have a bad Tuesday.
Yes. And how could you when Killer Cuties Podcast releases?
That's true. I can't imagine having a bad day when the best podcast ever is released.
At some point between the hours of like 6:30 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, sometime today. It's going to come out.
Well, it's our last episode of March.
It is.
Tell them what it means.
It means that we are a quarter of the way done with the year. Also, we're going to tell you all the horror movies that are coming out in April. Well, no, we're going to tell you all the horror movies that are coming out in April that we were able to find.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's most of them.
Yeah. There's quite a few.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Would you like to kick us off?
Oh, yeah. I can start.
Great.
Okay. On April 2nd, we get Screamboat, finally. That's the opportunistic Steamboat Willie finally hit the public domain slasher starring David Howard Thornton of Terrifier fame. Tyler Posey, is that his name?
So, yeah, you said that last episode, and I just took your word for it.
Yeah.
Tyler Posey's not in that movie.
He fucking is.
Jesse Posey, his little brother, is in that movie.
But so is Tyler.
I did not see him on the cast list.
He's in the trailer.
He's in the trailer? Are you sure it wasn't his brother?
I don't think so. Unless they look identical.
Well, then maybe he does have a cameo. I don't know. I saw Jesse Posey. I did not see Tyler Posey.
Okay, we'll be right back in 2 minutes after we watch this trailer again.
Let me look through IMDb too, because... No, he is. He is. Never mind. You're right.
Thank you. Yeah, he wasn't on the cast list on like Google.
Yeah, that's so weird.
He must just be in it for a second. Anyway.
Yeah, maybe it's just like an opening kill or something. That'd be fun.
Ooh, that would be fun. Hey, big brother, come get killed by David Howard Thornton in this movie. Anyway, in Screamboat, a late night boat ride in New York City becomes a struggle for survival when a seemingly harmless mouse transforms into a dangerous monster. And that comes out on April 2nd. Am I going to keep going? Do I just go through all of these that I've got so many?
Yeah. You do the first half, I'll do the second.
Okay, sounds good. So then on April 4th, we have four movies. First, Hell of a Summer follows 24-year-old camp counselor Jason, who arrives at Camp Pineway to discover that a masked killer is lurking on the campgrounds, brutally picking counselors off one by one. This one is produced by and starring Billy Brick and Finn Wolfhard, and apparently premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival nearly 2 years ago, and it just got picked up by Neon. Wake Up is about a group of young activists who set out to make an environmental statement by vandalizing a home superstore as it closes. Their plan goes terribly wrong when they become trapped inside and must face a deranged security guard with a gruesome passion for primitive hunting. This is another one that premiered nearly 2 years ago, and it's just now getting its U.S. release.
Damn.
The Grove also comes out April 4th. When Terrence, a Black Ops soldier, goes under an experiment to create a better life for him and his fiancée, Alice, his homecoming turns tragic when he stops taking medication, descending into feral madness. And finally, Parvulous, Children of the Apocalypse, releases April 4th as well. In a dystopian future ravaged by a viral apocalypse, three young brothers find themselves isolated in a remote cabin deep within the woods, harboring a dark and disturbing secret in their basement. This one already has really good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, at least, and has been described by critics as a coming-of-age horror fantasy.
Oh.
Those last four were coming out on April 4th, and then we've got one more from me. April 11th, Marshmallow is releasing. When a once fabled campfire tale becomes real, a group of campers uncover a profound secret that questions their very existence.
All right.
The poster's really cool. The poster's very like 70s, 80s slasher film, kind of like Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th vibes, like poster vibes. The poster looks
okay. Cool. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like they're... No, you only said two that made me feel like summer camp vibes, but still. Oh, yeah. I feel like that era of movie is coming out now because it's close to summer, so.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. It looks fun. Everything looks fun. They all look great.
Nice. I'll take the last half of April. We have four releases on the 18th. First, we have The Ugly Stepsister. Obviously, this is another horror take on a classic tale, Cinderella. This follows Elvira as she battles to compete with her insanely beautiful stepsister. In a fairy tale kingdom where beauty is a brutal business, Elvira will go to any lengths to catch the prince's eye. It feels like a little, like, body horror. Like, she's going to get, like, surgical stuff to, like, make her pretty.
Is it actually Elvira?
No, Elvira does not play Elvira.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Less exciting, but...
Yeah. And then we have It Feeds. A young girl insists that a malevolent entity is feeding on her, and her anguished father desperately struggles to protect her, to save the girl before she is completely consumed. A clairvoyant therapist must confront her own personal demons. This one's going to star Ashley Green and Sean Ashmore.
Ashley Green.
Fun.
Of Twilight fame.
Of Twilight fame, exactly. And then we also have Sinners coming out, probably the one of the more well-known ones coming out.
Yeah, closer to the back half of the month.
Yeah. Trying to leave their troubled lives behind, twin brothers return to their hometown to start again, only to discover that an even greater evil is waiting to welcome them back. This one is directed by Ryan Coogler, and it stars Michael B. Jordan and Hailee Steinfeld. And then finally on the 18th, we have yet another classic tale horror movie, The Death of Snow White.
Okay.
Really going all out with the Brothers Grimm this year.
I guess so.
Haunted by her evil stepmother, Snow White must overcome the horrors of the Dark Forest and make unlikely friends with seven murderous dwarves.
It can't be worse than the Disney Snow White live action.
Gal Gadot is not in it, so it sounds good to me.
Yep.
I'm struggling. I love Rachel Zegler, hate Gal Gadot. Yeah. So, like, what am I supposed to do, you know?
Yeah. Rachel Zegler really grew on me over the last probably 6 to 12 months.
Oh, she's so talented. I love her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's always been talented. I just didn't like the way she was handling the Snow White stuff, but in hindsight, she handled it really well.
Yeah, I feel like people blew that way out of proportion.
Yeah.
And I also feel like the same people who hated on her for that love Robert Pattinson for how much he hates Twilight. So get over yourselves.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Also, you can't fucking tell me that that was not Disney's own talking points that she was given.
Yeah.
It was a red carpet interview. They say what they're supposed to be saying. So blame Disney. Don't blame her.
Also, I really don't think Robert Pattinson hates Twilight.
I think he does. And I think it's really funny that he does.
I don't think he really does. I mean, there's behind the scenes videos of them having like an actually good time.
Oh, I don't think he hated like filming it. I think he just thinks the source material is really dumb.
Oh, that's fair.
Which is fair.
That's fair. Have you seen Mickey 17 yet?
No, I haven't, but I really want to.
Me too.
Anyways, two more movies coming out on April 25th. We have The Killgren. After a personal tragedy, Miranda explores unconventional self-help methods, only to learn that from a spiritual healer, that she has an infection of her aura called a Killgren, which thrives off of her misery. She soon unravels a terrifying truth when people close to her suffer a gruesome fate. Sounds kind of interesting.
Not going to hold you. When you said Killgren, I thought for sure it was like a play on the word children, and it was a bunch of like murderous children.
I'm glad that it's not. No. And then finally on the 25th, we have the movie that was supposed to be based off of the video game of the same name until they decided, nah, we're not going to do that. Until Dawn.
What? Wait, I thought they were going pretty close to the source material there.
No, not at all. That's why everybody's mad.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We
yeah.
We reported on that. We were like,
we did. Yeah. We did.
That was one day yesterday.
Your goldfish brain will remember something.
Maybe not. Probably not.
Yeah. Anyways, the movie is about, here's a summary. 1 year after her sister mysteriously disappeared, Clover and her friends head to the remote valley where she vanished in search of answers. They find themselves horrifically murdered, one by one, only to wake up and find themselves back at the beginning of the same evening. Trapped in the valley, they're forced to relive the night again and again, facing multiple different monsters, and the only way to escape is to survive until dawn.
Wow. I mean, they got the name right.
They sure did. And I feel like of all the monsters they fight, probably one of them is Wendigos. But who's to say? Not me.
We'll see.
We will.
They don't piss off video game fans.
I just think they could have just called it a Dark Pictures game and then made it into that instead of calling it Until Dawn and then not picking a path of Until Dawn and sticking with it, you know? That seems sure. silly to me. But.
Sounds reasonable.
Thank you. I think so.
Yeah. Well, exciting. There's some good ones, some clunkers, I'm sure, but some good ones, it sounds like.
Yeah, there's definitely some I'm excited for.
Yeah. All right, well, should we get to it?
Let's do it.
All right. We're here to talk about the movie The Wolf of Snow Hollow. It's a 2020 American horror mystery recommended to us by our dear friend Anitra. Yay. Thank you, Anitra. It's written, directed by, and starring Jim Cummings. No, not that Jim Cummings, the most beloved voice actor of our generation. The other Jim Cummings. You know who Jim Cummings is?
No.
Oh my god, he's fucking Winnie the Pooh.
Oh.
He's the Firefly in Princess and the Frog.
Oh.
He's literally everybody. He sings Scar. He's the singer. He sings Be Prepared.
So I do know him. I guess I didn't know his name.
You absolutely know him. He's in every animated movie ever.
Wow, every one.
Pretty much.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's not in this.
No, it's the other Jim Cummings. It also stars Chloe East, Robert Forster, Ricky Lindholm, and Will Madden. It's about a stressed police officer who struggles not to give in to the paranoia that grips his small mountain town as bodies turn up after each full moon. But it's deeper than that. It also explores father-son and daughter-father relationships, alcoholism, divorce, burnout. It had a $2 million budget and made just $267,000 at the box office through its limited theatrical and VOD releases. It touts a 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb, a 90% critics and 65% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 3.3 out of 5 stars on Letterboxd. But we don't care about any of that because we're here to talk about what we thought of The Wolf of Snow Hollow.
Exactly. We're here to tell you what to think about it.
Yeah.
Not anybody else. Just us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we can do that now.
You want to just rate it right now?
Oh, no. No, we can talk about it.
Great. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay.
I'll start.
Thank you.
They shot in Utah during the snow, obviously. Mm-hmm. Snow Hollow. Can you imagine? There's no snow. Anyways, the reason they chose Utah was so that they could get tax credits.
Oh.
It was budgetary, really. But yeah, they said if, even though it was the most money they've ever had to work with, it was like not a very big budget, which $2 million, like Hollywood standards, is pretty small budget.
Sure.
So Cummings had said that he had to ask like 1,000 favors just to make it happen. And on top of that, they ran into a lot of problems filming in Utah because of the snow. Like obviously you can't set up a dolly track and do a dolly shot. So they had to do everything kind of by hand or still cam. And then it was also like 14 degrees outside. So very cold, very difficult shoot, not very fun, but the producers had a joke that they said their next movie is going to be called Werewolf Beach, and they're shooting in Hawaii, so I think that's funny.
That is funny. Yeah, I cannot imagine being outside for 12 to 15 hours at a time in 14-degree weather, having to act like everything is just fine.
Yeah, that's my nightmare.
Yeah. No thanks.
It dips below 70, and I can't act like it's not the biggest inconvenience of my entire life. So.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie started as a podcast, sort of. He, like, recorded it in podcast version, the script at least. And he did it in what looked like a motel. There's a YouTube video called The Wolf of Snow Hollow Behind the Scenes Chapter 1 there, on his YouTube. There are no follow-up videos. There's no Chapter 2, Chapter 3, nothing. It's just this one.
Just Chapter 1. That's all we get.
Yeah. It's 45 seconds long. And it's him saying, I'm about to start recording the podcast, The Wolf of Snow Hollow. And here's the equipment that you need to make big budget movies like Avatar. And he pulls out a tiny video cam microphone combo that he props up in a rolled up yoga mat, and then he sits down and starts recording. And that's the end of the video.
Yeah. I read an article where he's talked about, like, recording it all as a podcast so that producers would have a better idea of the tone and kind of what it was going to be.
Yeah.
He also said that that's kind of how he writes, is he'll act everything out. And he'll just, like, have his laptop up with the script that he's written and basically just talk it out and do the scenes as every character. And then he'll just make notes as he goes, which is interesting.
Cute.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's one way to do it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And he had no formal acting training before he decided to act in his own movie.
Hmm.
And I think he did a really good job.
Yeah.
His deadpan is very, very good.
Like, yeah, I think he did very well in this role.
Yes.
Personally, I hated his character, but he did a good job because I think, you know, that was kind of the point.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to like him.
Well, I think by the end you are, but...
Well, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, it was very much at its core, a story about alcoholism and anger.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think he did the deadpan really well. Like it was very funny. It reminded me of Napoleon Dynamite. Just very flat, funny. It was funny.
Okay, yeah. I didn't think it was that funny.
Oh, I did. I was cackling. I loved his deadpan.
I feel like a lot of the humor... There were some moments that I thought were funny. But I feel like a lot of the humor was, like, him just yelling. And I don't like men yelling at all. So, it wasn't for me. But that's not to say I didn't like the movie. It was just that.
Yeah. I went to a concert with Michelle once. You all know Michelle.
Michelle, our dear friend.
And there was the opening band just took a second to, in the middle of one of their songs, to let everybody scream.
Mm.
Like, that was just like, they're like, oh yeah, it's relief. It's like, everybody get it out. Let it out. We're all going to scream. And we did. And that was, like, really fun for me. I was like, oh my God, we're all screaming together. It was so fun. It was really loud. And then when the concert was over, I was like, wasn't it so fun how they made us all scream? And she said the exact word for word thing you just said. I don't like when men scream.
I don't.
Yeah. I guess I wasn't thinking about it in that way. I wasn't thinking about, like, oh, there's men screaming. I was like, I don't know.
No, that's
funny
fair.
That you both have now said that to me.
Yeah, she gets me. Yeah. No, I think you not minding men screaming is probably a good sign.
Yeah, I guess.
Probably healthy, you know?
Sure.
You guys can all talk to my therapist about why I don't like it.
It was safe screaming. We were in a safe environment. And
yeah, that's true.
Also,
that feels like, yeah, a different vibe than this, where it was like, he literally said he likes the idea of public crash outs. And that's kind of a lot of what this movie is. Because he's like, I think what they say and how they say it and what they don't say, like, says a lot about the person.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he, in particular, really likes watching Nick Cage crash out on screen. He thinks it's really good.
Yeah.
He does I think that, crash out. Yeah, and I think that's a little bit of what he was projecting in this, is that stress and that buildup of all of these different components hitting one person at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
and how that bubbles over. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah. They did a lot of sequence editing versus scene editing. It's like those like weird cuts where it goes back and forth between scenes. I feel like that worked a majority of the time. But occasionally it was a little distracting. I felt like kind of blue-balled by like the going between the scenes so quickly.
Okay.
I really wanted there to be some sort of like resolution in the scene first before it switched around. But I do feel like it worked. And he did mention, Jim Cummings did mention how I think it was like Fight Club. Does Fight Club do that too? I'm pretty sure he said Fight Club was the inspiration for that.
I haven't seen Fight Club in 10 plus years.
Yeah, I've never seen it, so I couldn't tell you.
It's a good movie. Yeah, I feel like that type of editing took a minute to get used to.
For sure.
But then once I did, I did kind of like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it kind of added to the chaos and almost the stress of it all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And this movie was nothing if not stressful.
Yeah, you could definitely feel the character's stress.
Yeah. I also, speaking of like the way it was like edited or whatever, I watched this on my phone while I was working. And during the opening sequence, I kept flipping my phone over because I thought that it was playing upside down.
Oh.
But it was actually the scenes were upside down and the text was right side up. So I kept flipping it over and I'm like, what the fuck is happening with my phone? Just please, can you play this right side up? Until I finally realized that the letters were the right side up.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
That's okay. Did you find this movie funny at all? At all?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it was like laugh out loud funny.
Oh, I was cackling.
Yeah, I don't know. That didn't translate to me.
Weird.
But there were definitely moments I was like smiling or like doing the little nose breath laugh thing, you know?
Yeah, okay. There were scenes throughout the film that I thought even the actors were trying not to break.
Okay.
Like the scene where everybody's around, oh God, what's his name? Robert Forster. Mm-hmm. He's like at the table and everybody's around him. And he's like, I won't ask you all to pray with me or whatever. That scene, it looks like everybody's like trying not to giggle.
I think that would make sense. I think also Robert Forster was very beloved on set.
I'm sure.
I heard nothing but amazing things. And Jim Cummings even said they asked him on a whim because they were like, there's no way he's going to say yes to this. Like, we're nobodies. And he was like, of course I want to do this. This sounds great. Yeah. So, and it was his last film, too.
Yeah. He died of cancer.
Yeah. I know. Rest in peace.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, if you watch it again anytime soon, just look at everybody around. It looks like they're about to break.
I could see that. That was one of the more funny parts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it just kind of devolved into a very sad film.
Like after his character passes.
Yeah, and the daughter's in the hospital and they're like yelling at each other and
yeah.
She has to like drag him into the house and
yeah. Jim Cummings actually said that he sat down with his brother who has been an AA at that time for about 10 years.
Wow.
And basically just went through the relapse scene and how that was gonna go. And you know, he said, is him drinking the Listerine, is that too much? And his brother said, no, it's 16.5% alcohol. And just the fact that his brother knew that, he was like, oh my God, like, that's,
yikes.
That's what it's like.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Oof.
Yeah. There's also, he found out, apparently they put an ingredient in it that if you drink too much of it, you throw it up.
Yeah.
Like purposely for that reason. So.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Learned a lot about Listerine during this.
One time when I was like 19 years old, I had a UTI and I went into the doctor and what is that face?
Just waiting to see where this goes.
Oh. Anyway, I had to get antibiotics and they're like, okay, here are your antibiotics. And the doctor's like, Thanksgiving's next week. Are you going to drink? And I'm like, I'm 19. I'm not allowed to drink. And he's like,
are you going to drink?
Are you drinking? Because it's really important for me to know. And I'm like, no, I'm not drinking. What the hell? I'm 19 years old. And he's like, okay, well, if you change your mind and or, it, you know, if you change your mind, you will vomit the second the alcohol hits your lips.
Because of the medicine.
And that's what I learned. I think it's flagyl. Is used in alcoholism cases. They put them on it because then if they relapse, if they drink, they vomit immediately. So I wonder if it's the same drug, the same like component.
I doubt it, because people who drink alcohol can drink Listerine without, if it's the moment it touches your lip, you know?
Like, well, no,
you
but
accidentally
if it's like,
swallowed Listerine and then yeah, you're but, just throwing up everywhere.
No, but if you're saying that you drink a lot of it and then you'll throw it up, maybe that's they just true. Put like a little bit in there or something. I don't know.
Really diluted.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's good of the doctor to tell you that, though. I knew quite a few 19-year-olds who were drinking on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Not me, though.
Uh-huh.
I would never.
I genuinely did not have a drink until I was 21. Well, except when my nun smuggled me off a boat to have a drink in Mexico once.
We're so different, you and I.
Yeah.
How did we find each other? Yeah, by the time I got to my 21st birthday, I was like kind of over the bar scene. I didn't even go out.
Oh my God.
There's crazy. Not a lot to do in Iowa, let me tell you what.
I don't even know how I would have gotten into a bar.
A fake ID? Not, I'm not telling
how
to do
I would have gotten a fake ID.
Oh, okay.
And actually, that's guess, true because I did go into a bar several times. I just never drank.
No, I shouldn't actually say on a public podcast how I got my fake ID, but.
Oh, God.
Allegedly. But I'll tell you off the podcast how.
Thank you. And
how
just to
I
be clear,
that.
I don't have any siblings that could have given me theirs, so.
Mm.
Not to say that's what you were going to say, but.
It is a nice life hack, you know, if you have an older sibling. Not to say that's I would never. But allegedly, if someone had an older sibling who was 3 years older and therefore turned 21 when you turned 18 and, you know, allegedly their ID expired and you could use their old one, that would be a way that maybe an underage person could get into a bar.
That's not a fake ID. That's a real ID.
That's true. It is a real ID, but it's not mine, you know.
Allegedly.
Not I would never.
And I wasn't saying but, that's what you did.
No, no one no listen, no one's saying that's what I did. But if one were to do that, I could see how that would work.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's talk more about the movie.
Yeah, we were talking about alcoholism.
Great.
I don't know. Like, that scene in particular where it just kind of devolved into a really sad film. Like, I was tearing up a little bit. Just that, like, my biological father is an alcoholic, and it sort of forces a, you know, accelerated growing up on children when your parent is an addict of some kind. And I think Chloe East did a really good job of portraying that sort of, like, I don't want to be the grown-up. I shouldn't have to be the grown-up, but here I am being the fucking grown-up. I feel like she did a really good job there, and it was, like, really powerful.
She did, yeah. And for all our differences, we do have that in common.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily, I do feel I was, for the most part, shielded from that.
Sure, yeah.
My mom kind of hightailed it out of there. But with us in tow.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. she left us with our dad. Yeah. I'm kidding. But yeah, it's she did a great job of portraying that. And I think any kid who has a parent who's suffered that, even if you were shielded, you can't be completely, like, you know, at a certain point what's happening and you're going to touch on that at times. So I do think that was well done.
Yeah. And then I loved the ending where, like, the very end ending where he, like, gives her everything that she needs to take care of herself.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like, lets it go a little bit.
I will say I'm kind of learning that he can't hover and control everything yeah. about her.
Yeah. I'm not like a huge fan of the like dads with shotguns trope, like, oh, you're going to come near my daughter like that.
Me neither.
That's so dumb. But this was like a fun, like light sort of adjustment to that trope, I felt like. More of like a women empowerment version. Like,
yeah.
Here's, I'm just giving you the tools that you need to take care of yourself, whether you want to.
Yeah, only women should have guns.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Thank you.
Now that's a gun control policy I can get behind. None or only women.
Yeah, none or only women. That's my only two options. Yeah, I also like that they kind of subverted the expectation that he's going to take over for his dad as yeah. sheriff, and it's the only sane, competent police officer
mm-hmm.
instead. Which I did also like. Like, they very much showed the failings and the incompetence and the toxic masculinity that comes with the police force. So, mm-hmm. appreciated that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that necessarily it was like a commentary on that. But
it was.
Oh, okay. Good.
From interviews, he talked a little bit about how it can just be like a very horrible place for women. And that's why he liked Ricky Lindholm so much, who plays Detective Robson, who then becomes sheriff, because mm-hmm. he's like, she's the character. Like, she did such a good job portraying this character in a way that made the audience empathize with her. Like, it's her and right. the audience. And that's like kind of the journey. Like, everybody's kind of rooting for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wanted.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So he did kind of talk a little bit about that was intentional.
Oh, good. I didn't want to give him credit for it if it wasn't intentional, but.
Yeah, I don't think it was like as, like, I don't think he's like against cops or anything. Like, he also talks about how serial killers was a big inspiration for him. And he read like all of John Douglas's books, who, if you don't mm-hmm. know, John Douglas is an author, but he also worked in the FBI. He was one of the first ever criminal profilers. He wrote mm-hmm. the book Mindhunter, which the Netflix series was based off of. Yeah, so, yeah. So he like read all of his books and was really interested in like the serial killer aspect. And so mm-hmm. that's why we have the ending in this that we do. And it's not an actual werewolf. Sure. It's just a guy. Cause he was like, I think that that's scary enough that we don't need a monster too. But yeah. So I think he like respects the detective work of it all, but he said there's like definitely a type of personality that goes into police force work
right.
that like wants that glory and wants that like,
power.
Right. And so he said even the scene where like they all get like the police officers kind of get riled up and his character immediately grabs for his gun. Like that was even yeah. supposed to reflect how quickly things can be escalated, especially when you are given weapons and mm-hmm. like your job is then to like exert that force on people who don't have anything. Like that's not yeah. healthy always. So he did, yeah. He talked about that in one article that I read. So I was like,
good.
Yeah, happy that it was intentional.
Yeah, I mean, add it to the list. He talks about so many, like, impactful, like, important concepts. And this came out, like, as COVID hit. So it was even, like, before the whole George Floyd thing.
Yeah, which I think they talked about in that same article.
Oh.
Because he obviously filmed this before that happened. And yeah. it was just released. And they said, mm-hmm. like, obviously, like, right now, things are getting a little bit, I guess that's being brought to the forefront more so yeah. than it had been, so.
Yeah, dicey.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. Well, not fun, but you know what I mean.
Not fun.
No. Speaking of the, like, supernatural element, not the supernatural element, but the, it's just a guy.
Yeah.
It took them 3 weeks to build the outfit, and only two scenes in the entire film were VFX.
Mm.
One was the breath when the Wolfman stands up to his full height, his breath, because he was breathing sort of out through the neck, so they needed to take that out and put it out through the werewolf's mouth. And then mm-hmm. in that same shot, the victim's missing their arm. That was one scene. And then the second scene was the werewolf's ankles. They sort of do like a weird like reverse ankle thing. That's it. That's all the VFX they use in the entire movie, which for a werewolf movie, I feel like the werewolf looks pretty good. Usually the werewolf doesn't look so great.
Yeah. I mean, I think it helped that it was like, there's obviously no transformation scenes or anything like that. It's
true,
just a guy in a suit. So it had to kind of look like a guy in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it. I was never not once taken out of the movie by, oh my God, that werewolf looks so stupid.
Yeah, no. I thought everything looked pretty good for it being practical effects.
Yeah.
Not even that. That made it sound like it looked good for being practical. It just looked good.
Yeah, it did. It did. It just looked good. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
Were you surprised that it was just a guy in a suit?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the way that he got to prove it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it felt like kind of a long con for them to go back and be like, hey, I need to return this item that was in my bag. This isn't mine, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It all kind of worked out very well and very, like, it was very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Jim Cummings calls it evidence pornography. Maybe that's what you're thinking
of. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Like, when you get that clue and everything comes together.
Yeah. No, it's like satisfactory. That was all very satisfying. Satisfying. Yeah, I got there.
Yeah.
It was very satisfying. I mean, I never thought it was a werewolf.
Okay.
What I really wanted it to be was him, and he's just angry. He's just kind of like, I thought it was going in the direction of your monster.
Got it. Where he was attacking people.
Yeah. He has actually, like, conveniently on the full moon, fallen back into his alcoholism, and he turns into this, like, murderer.
Someone actually, he did a Reddit AMA where he talked about this movie. Uh-huh. We can link it in the description. But someone commented and said, your teeth made for a very confusing red herring during this, because they thought the same thing, because even his teeth are like that.
they're
pointed.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought that was funny. And he said, it didn't do me any favors when I was a kid either. And I told everybody my birthday was on Halloween. So.
Oh my God. Okay, you little Dracula.
Yeah. But yeah, that's interesting. I think when, like, the movie first started, I was like, okay, it's going to be a werewolf movie. Like Wolf of Snow Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
It zooms in on the wolf print, you know? I was kind of like, okay. Mm-hmm. But then pretty quickly in the same vein, was like, oh, they're turning that on its head. Because typically in a werewolf movie, everybody thinks it's a killer. And there's one guy who's like, it might be a werewolf. And in this, it was like, everybody thought it was a wolf. And then there's the one guy being like, it's just a guy. Like, it's just a serial killer.
Hit him with your car.
He's literally just a guy. But yeah, I thought that it was clever. I kind of like that it turned that on its head. A lot of horror movies, I think, are more, oh, you think that this could be a serial killer, and then it turns out to be something supernatural. So
totally.
It was fun to see that reversed.
Yeah, fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it. Fun little twist. Twisty twist.
A little bit more about filming.
Mm-hmm.
The entire montage of interrogations that happens in the movie was actually shot almost a year later, and they did it just in an office that was next door to their production studio. And then also just kind of two pieces they had to, like, put back in and film later. But the shot of Officer Robson driving to the climax of the movie, they did that very Saw style where the car was parked and one of Jim Cummings' friends was just shaking the car while they, like, flashlights around. So I thought that was fun. A little callback to what, episode, like, 10, where we talked about Saw?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was forever ago.
It was. Wow. Cute. Rip Saw 11, by the way. I know we didn't do news today, but that happened, and I've been mourning ever since. So. Yeah.
Who knows? You may get another one. I mean, 10 is plenty, if you ask me. But
I think so, too.
Okay, greedy.
But here's the thing. It was, like, they made the first three that were all, like, pretty good. And then they made 4 through 9. Which all kind of sucked. And then, just like, you know, I'm a Saw apologist. I'm not saying they suck. I'll watch them any day. But they weren't as good, right?
Okay.
And then they find, like, no production issues whatsoever during all of those shitty sequels. And then they make Saw 10, which was genuinely very good. It was going back to, like, what we had at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden there's problems. You motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Right when it reignited my love and I wanted more, they ruined it.
You never know.
That's true. It could just be in limbo for a while and eventually it happens. But
yeah,
I think people kind of wanted it to be a follow-up to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And if it takes too long, like, that won't be possible. So it's, sure. Yeah. It's just a sad day for Saw fans everywhere.
Yeah. Tune in to episode 375 of Killer Cuties podcast where we announce
that's Saw 11.
Back on the table, baby.
In production. All right. Do you have any other fun facts?
Not really. There was not a whole lot about this one.
Yeah, it's always hard when it's a low budget kind of indie style film that's didn't get a wide release. Sometimes there's not always as much.
Yeah. That's okay though.
Yeah.
Let's rate it.
Okay.
All right. How scary did you think it was?
I gave it a 0.5 out of 5.
Oh, I forgot we can do that.
Yeah, I think it's like a little, it was just the tone of it was kind of a little bit more light, you know? What did you give it?
I gave it a 1.5. I don't think this movie was scary, but it did give me pretty significant anxiety. Anxiety about aging parents, anxiety about relationships with your kids as they become adults, anxiety about work and burnout. Just like a lot of the human aspects of it, the human aspect of the werewolf film, they were just anxiety inducing. So I put that under scary.
Valid.
Yeah.
How sexy did you think it was?
I gave it a 2.
Oh, okay.
Just for the vibes.
Okay.
Like 90s detective-y vibes, like, you know, kind of makes me think of Martin Short and Hamish Abernathy. In, like, the snow, you know?
Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Aren't they in, like, a detective show together? Like,
True Detective?
Is that what it's called?
Martin Short is not in True Detective.
Oh.
Not with Woody Harrelson. That's Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson who are in the first season.
Oh, you're right. Okay, well, yeah. But they're both in it.
I have seen, like, 4 episodes of the first season, so I didn't know Martin Short was in it. But yeah, I know it's an anthology. They do, like, different actors every season. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is.
Okay. Well, I knew he was in, like, Only Murders in the Building.
That is not who I'm talking about.
That's Martin Short.
Who am I talking about?
I don't know now.
I'm talking about the guy from The Hobbit.
Martin Freeman?
Martin Freeman. Thank you. He's in True Detective.
That makes more sense to me.
Yeah, honestly.
I was like, I don't think he is in that. But I don't think he was. He was in the TV series Fargo.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay, I was like, that makes much more sense because he cited Fargo as an inspiration for this movie. So
yeah, there you go. Oh wow, okay, there you go.
Yeah,
maybe that's what I was thinking of. Is True Detective in the snow?
Fargo. No, True Detective, the season I've seen was not in the snow. It was like Louisiana summer.
I think I just don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I don't think you've ever seen True Detective.
I've never seen either of them.
Great.
But those are the vibes I'm looking for. 90s detectives. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How sexy did you think Wolf of Snow Hollow was?
I didn't think it was sexy at all. I gave it a 0.5 out of 5.
Okay.
The vibes of these detectives were not sexy. At all.
I don't know.
It felt cold and bumbling. All the people were just bumbling idiots. I didn't feel any sexual attraction to them. And you'd think, oh, like, wolf, that's sexy. No, this guy's a weird big big weirdo creep. So not sexy. Mm. It didn't do it for me at all. I'm so sorry.
I'm just getting soft in my old age, I think. Anything will harden me up.
Oh! Oh, God.
Desperate is another word.
Okay.
How... It's your turn. It's my turn. How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 1.5. Half a point for him stealing the genitals off of a victim.
Multiple
times. That was weird. And then 0.5 for the 3-year-old.
Not ideal.
That was sad. Yeah. And I've had a change of heart after Nosferatu. I said, no more killing kids. We've done enough.
So, correct.
That we're good. We're good now.
Yeah, no more after that one. I gave it a 2 for that. And then just really like the emotionality of it all.
Yeah.
Like the gore wasn't excessive. It's just, you know, the vibes.
That's fair.
Yeah, the vibes were fucked up.
Yeah. All right, overall, what did you think of our friend Anitra's pick of The Wolf of Snow Hollow?
I really like this. I would watch it again. I think it's a really great indie in like vibes and in practice film. I would recommend it to just about anyone as just like a fun little detective-y werewolfy movie.
Yeah.
It had a great story and a fun and accessible twist. I thought it was funny. I thought it was hilarious. I was laughing the whole time. I gave it a 3.5.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it. What about you?
I really thought your score was going to be higher than mine.
Oh.
But we have the same score.
Wow, hooray! Why did you think that?
I don't know. You just didn't really say anything negative about it at all. So I was like, oh, maybe hers is going to be like a 4 or 4.5 or something. But yeah, I gave it a 3.5 as well. It's a good movie. It's a fun watch. And again, I like the ending. I think it's fun that it's just a guy. The reveal of it was really well done. I came to really like the editing of the chaos and everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it wasn't as funny as I wanted it to be. And I really hated the main character so much. I hated him. I hated watching him. I hated every time he opened his mouth. I hated him yelling. But that's personal issues that I'm working towards. So those were the parts that I was like, not as in love with it.
Yeah.
But I get why it was there too.
I'm surprised I found it funnier than you did. That's usually not our vibes. Funny...
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
I thought it was so funny.
I think it was maybe just because I didn't like the main guy so much. That, like, even when he was supposed to be, like, making jokes, I was like, well, not really making jokes, but, like, funny moments. Yeah. It was just not, I don't know.
Weird.
Although this I didn't your menu. Think. His... Well, no, I still understand it's supposed to be a comedy. Oh. I also, though, the first time I watched Napoleon Dynamite, I didn't think it was funny either.
Same.
Yeah, so maybe I just need to give it a rewatch.
This is the second time you've watched it, though, isn't it?
Laughing out loud. No, this is the first time I watched it.
Oh, so you just watched it before I asked you had you watched it, but it was the one time.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. I thought you had watched it prior to this.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, Anitra recommended it, and I hadn't seen it.
Nice.
So I was excited for it. But then I watched it before we did our last episode. Which is why I didn't predict it.
That's right.
Yes.
Watch it again and see if you think it's funny.
Yeah, I'll have to. I'll give it like...
a few months.
Yeah, maybe in the winter time I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
And see if it hits right.
Winter midday movies.
I like it. Okay. All right. Would you survive?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I say that on vibes alone.
On vibes alone.
Yeah.
You just feel like you'd live.
Yeah. I'm not leaving my house in the cold.
That's so valid.
So I'm not getting murdered.
Yeah.
And if that guy kept talking to me, I'd punch him in the fucking mouth.
That'd probably make him want to kill you more.
Not if I kill him first.
Sucks.
Bitch. Get fucked. Get wrecked. Don't talk to me. And my kid. Leave me and my kid alone, bitch. Hate him.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like kind of like 50-50, right? Because he's just a guy.
He's just a guy. Really
he's
skinny.
Just a serial killer.
He's like lanky.
And I've never... Yeah, I've never been serial killed. So I think I have that going for me.
Yeah.
So far, so good. But have I ever come into contact with a serial killer? I don't know.
I bet statistically you have.
Yeah, but have I ever, like, spoken to one?
I bet you have. Hey, Google. What percentage of the population is serial killers? Oh, there's only 3 to 4,000. Is that the number 3? Like, there's only 3 active serial killers? Or are there 3,000 to 4,000? There's not that many serial killers. I thought there'd be more than that.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a lot of them. So I don't think my chances are super high.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, there's only 25 to 50 active in the United States. That's an average of 37.5. There's 210 million registered drivers in the United States, which is 86% of adults. I don't think we have talked to a serial killer.
What does the drivers have to do with serial killers?
Oh, it's just like how, it's, I don't know, it's just how many people are in, like a rough estimate of how many people.
Okay. Yeah, if there's only 25 to 50 at any given time, I do live in a highly populated area. However, I don't go into highly populated places that much. I'm saying my chances are probably higher because I live in a city with 3 million people. You know what I mean?
But also, I don't think that your chances would be higher because I don't think a lot of the serial killing is happening in highly populated areas.
Do you know how many serial killers have been in LA?
Oh, a lot? Is it a lot?
Well, my friend's dad caught the Night Stalker. That's how close to proximity I am to a serial killer. Well. Yeah, back in the 70s, there were a lot more. So yeah, I do think my chances do go up.
Okay.
But I kind of stick to myself. I don't really talk to people I don't know. So I don't think I've ever talked to a serial killer.
Yeah, that's fair.
Unless it's like a checkout person or something. I don't know. But I'm going to say because I've never been serial killed, I'm surviving.
Okay, that's fair.
Thank you.
That's good logic.
I think so.
For our fake scenarios.
Thank you.
Well, cool. I'm glad we live.
Me too.
We live to die another day.
Yeah. All right. This was fun. Thank you again to Anitra for suggesting this movie. I'm glad we finally got around to watching it.
Me too.
Very fun.
Mm-hmm.
You've already seen one of the movies we're watching next week.
Oh yeah, brother.
So, I don't think you really need to predict it.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah,
Chainsaw?
Yes.
Hooray!
Next week, we're going to be talking about the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, as well as the 2003 remake.
Sick.
I think it's technically a remake, right? Yeah. Just making sure it's not like a requel or something like that. It might be.
Yeah.
It's been, I probably last time I watched it was like 2005, so.
Oh my God. It's been out that long?
2003. I said it.
Oh, I didn't hear.
That's okay. But yeah, we're going to be talking about both of them. I feel like, you know, if you've seen one Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you haven't seen them all, but like you get the concept.
I do get the concept. And I've played the game.
Exactly. You know.
Which we moved on to from too fast, I think.
Bubba's going to have a chainsaw. Yeah, the game. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't.
I think we moved on too fast. Fun. I think we need to try it again.
Okay.
I liked it. It was like fresh DPD without the sweats.
Yeah, but now there's sweats.
Nobody plays that game.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, we can just get a full lobby. and then there won't be sweats unless we're the sweats. Plot twist, we're the sweats.
We're the sweats. Yeah, I would play the game again, sure.
Wow, great. We can talk more about it in the next episode of the Killer Cuties Podcast.
That's us. Can't wait.
Woo. Don't forget to drop a like and a subscribe.
Please.
We're begging you.
We really are. We would really appreciate it. Mm. Any support at all. We appreciate. But yeah.
We'll see you next week.
We will see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Bye.